Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. You can just refer to me as Paul, and I am delighted to be with you today. And I'm here with my co-hosts, Bill and Cher Holton, the Reverend Doctors Bill and Cher Holton. And yes, indeed, it is another beautiful day in my consciousness. Hi, guys.
Hello, this is, you can call me Cher, and since you've already introduced us, and I will say that it is indeed another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it is another beautiful day in my consciousness, another beautiful, beautiful day, as Bill, as Reverend Dr. Bill Holton.
You can call him Bill with one L.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we are the co-founders of a brand new Unity ministry called the Unity Center for Universal, youuniversalprosperity.com.
Which you can get to with ucfyp.com.
Yeah, and I think they should go to your website and sign up for your Monday musings. Those are really good.
Thank you for that. Yes, please do, because we send it out every Monday, and it's just a little series of thoughts.
Things that made us laugh, or
things that we are thinking about, quotes we're pondering, whatever. We just a little bit of sharing.
Yeah, it's great. And it's easy to read, and it's fast. And
And there's always a spiritual practice.
Oh, that's right. Always a spiritual practice. Okay, so, and I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find the Absolute Word, as well as my calendar, where I'm appearing from home in Zoom, or Zoomlandia, or as another friend called, the Zoomiverse.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Zoomiverse.
I'm kind of leaning to that one, Zoomiverse. So this is exciting because we're in part two, and we don't know how long this is going to be, on free will, actually. And it's based on a white paper by Bill. So you guys do those together, don't you, sort of, kind of?
We do, yeah.
So,
and they're white light papers is what we call them.
White light paper, yes.
You take off on the white paper, but it's spiritual.
Not that we're woo-woo or anything. Free will and free won'ts. And, of course, at the end of the program, we will be doing the Absolute Word. Okay, so Cher, take it away.
All right, we're going to pick up where we left off. And we're going to be looking a little bit at what neuroscientists are saying, because we are exploring science, pseudoscience, and spirituality on this show. So we wanted to see what neuroscientists say. And neuroscientists are beginning to believe that we're mistaken in believing that intention initiates every action. And that statement alone is like a what?
So,
because it kind of goes against what we have taught in the past.
Yeah, that intention is very important, right?
Mm-hmm. So what they say, what neuroscientists say, is many of our decisions are initially being made on a subconscious level and only afterward being translated into a conscious decision. And that our belief that it occurred at the behest of our free will was only due to our retrospective perspective on a particular event.
Oh, I think he's just doing too much nitpicking here, right? Because when I become aware of it in my conscious phase of mind, and I put my intention behind it, action happens. It's just that before that, I wasn't aware, so there was no intention.
Yeah, and I think that certainly is true, but was it a free will?
Oh, so that's another whole thing, right? Yeah. And so we'll keep reminding people that we're still leaning towards influenced will.
Yes.
Right. And that's really the importance of that paragraph of neuroscientists, is not that intention is not important, but that intention is not what initiated the action.
So the subconscious decision is the first domino to drop to move.
Oh, that good analogy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I was reading that in a little distorted way.
And what's interesting as we back this thing up again, the old saying that many of us have grown up on is that necessity is the mother of invention. Well, when you think about it, that's not true. Necessity is the mother of intention, which is the mother of invention. But wait, it may not be. According to what neuroscience has just said.
And yeah, where does that begin? The need to, because somewhere in there, there's got to be the desire or the need that would create the decision to initiate action.
And that's true too. And I would say it's influenced desire.
Yes, this just gets to be a tangled web of insanity, really. So I'm kind of leaning towards you now, Sharon, in that, you know, so what was that word? What's the mother invention?
Necessity.
Necessity. So you see a need, and then your subconscious mind is going to work on it.
Yeah.
And it's already done the work.
And it's done. Boom. It's fast.
Boom.
Yeah, but frankly,
maybe that's our new word. Boom.
And I'm not completely thrilled that my decisions are being made by my subconscious mind, which is full of facts and stuff from my past.
Yeah. I'm not either.
As a matter of fact, neuroscientists are telling us that 95% of our decisions have already been made in the subconscious before they become conscious.
So now I'm wondering what happened with the other 5%. Is that further on in the paper?
That'll appear somewhere. We'll see how that
unfolds.
So I'm just going to be declaring every one of my decisions are in that 5%.
Actually, I've been saying all week, ever since our last show, every time if I want to eat a bunch of potato chips, I'm going to look at Bill and say, my subconscious decided that I should eat these chips. So I've been using it as a rationalization.
That is good. That is really good.
I'm not sure that's where we're supposed to be going with this, though.
I'm not sure where we go with this yet. So,
well, interesting that you say that, because as we'll see later, there's some rather interesting open-mindedness about the subject overall. So we'll get there.
We'll get there eventually. Okay.
We'll get there. So let me just continue what neuroscientists are saying first, because we are allowed to disagree with neuroscientists.
We
may not have their degree of education in that area, but we know what we know. According to a growing number of neuroscientists, subconscious impulses to perform a volitional act are open to suppression by the conscious efforts of the subject, sometimes referred to as free won't.
Don't you love that?
Mm-hmm. Free won't.
Free won't. Yeah.
So the studies have shown that conscious intention to do something doesn't cause movement genesis. Both the feeling of intention and the movement itself are the result of unconscious processing. It seems that the possibility that our free won'ts may also be the prerogative of our subconscious influence. So let me just, last sentence in this paragraph, and then we'll talk about this. The decision to veto an action is most likely determined subconsciously, just as the initiation of the action may have been subconscious in the first place.
Wow.
This is kind of
we can make this really practical. We haven't shared what we've been talking about my looking for a newer car. Ah. I decided to look for a new car. And that decision seemed to be conscious, but subconscious information that went from my conscious mind first, right, to my subconscious about safety and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so I began looking. And when I found this car, what came into my awareness was the car for me was not fitting the image I had for myself. And so that could have been impulse from the subconscious mind.
True.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so I've been in this I will, I won't for about a week.
Interesting. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So it would be informed will and informed won't.
And that fits.
And then it's almost like as you bring that from your subconscious into your conscious and begin to play with it, that's where it's influenced will. You get to decide where you're going to give the priority and what.
But we don't know how much of that seemingly conscious conversation is coming from my subconscious mind.
So here's the question then. We waste one heck of a lot of time wavering, trying to make decisions. wouldn't it be nice if we could just, if the decision's already made, for heaven's sake, just do it and let's quit fooling around with it.
There is that.
Well, there the interesting that. Thing about this, though, when you think about that, the subconscious is warehousing our past thinking, our patterns, our tendencies. And if we want to grow beyond those and become a more current us that may think differently, there is a little bit of a dichotomy then between where we are consciously now. For example, the three of us that had grown up in a very deterministic, dogmatic religious communities, and now none of the three of us subscribe to that old theology, which was warehoused in our subconscious for our lifetime. So there's something to be said then, even though it's influenced, we still have the right to make a different choice.
Yeah, so now we have this conundrum that what was primarily warehoused was this old time religion. Mm-hmm. And then I started to move away from that, and that those decisions to move away, I would call free will, but somehow it was informed by a subconscious mind that was programmed by something that would have kept me in those traditions. So,
that's true.
Yeah. And it could very well be is that's just that we're adding these new thoughts and feelings into our subconscious that are newer than the old ones. And this might be the very reason why we have incremental change rather than big jumps.
And we
move from stuff that was in our not adjacent, not possible, not possible for us to believe, to our adjacent possible, then into the realm that it is a moving target. Our subconscious minds with all this information might like be bubbling like a, oh, I'm going to date myself here, a lava lamp.
Oh, yeah.
Which, since I am physical dating, I'm pretty much only dating myself these days.
Plus, the subconscious becomes influenced by our current education, knowledge, experience, thinking, which are also very influential in terms of what decisions we'll make.
Yeah, and so that's got to be going into the subconscious too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's very fluid.
We do talk about and teach and train about how important it is through meditation to begin to bring up that subconscious into our awareness also.
Yep.
And so I know in our last retreat we did, we used that Johari window concept, which people may remember from, that dates me, but we kind of did a mock from that where there's information that's known to us and not known to us, and how the things that are not known and not aware, that's our subconscious, but by giving more information and being in meditation and paying attention, we bring that up, and then we have access to it.
Yeah, so isn't that Johari's window also related to, if there's a solution to the problem, it's usually the simplest one or the most obvious, something like that?
That's a different, it's the same square, but it's a different model, I think.
Well, different
problem
model.
Solving.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Usually it is not nearly as difficult as we make it. But the more information, all of those relate back to communication of some sort, where the more information that's available to ourself and others, and in this case, our higher self versus our divine self, if we're talking yep. about the spiritual version, the more information, the more open that open window, and the more we have access to the information.
And I think it's important for us to let the listeners know that the power of the subconscious already having the patterns and the tendencies is not deterministic. It only houses the patterns. We still have a choice. We're just saying that choice is probably not free choice, but more influenced choice.
But are we saying the choice is being made in the subconscious mind?
Well, that is true based on our current patterns that have been warehoused there.
Yes,
but it's not deterministic, because we still had, at the point of making that conscious decision, yep. even though it's influenced, we still have that power in our conscious. We'll talk a little bit about that later too.
Yeah, and we're actually coming up to, if I could skip over.
Okay, so before we go there, will you please spell Johari for people?
Oh, yes. It's J-O-H-A-R-I.
J-O-H-A-R-I.
J-O-H-A-R-I, Johari Window. It sounds like some mystical thing that came from the Far East, but the two psychologists who created the initial one, their names were Joe and Harry.
Oh, and they put their names together. Oh,
and that's how, yeah. So super. That's why they called it that. It was actually created in the 70s, I believe.
It's been around for a while.
It's a powerful model, and it's one that I pull out occasionally when I'm talking with people. And we did use it at the retreat. We all just kind of we played with it from a different perspective of higher self and human self.
So it's a useful tool for people to do a little more digging on the internet.
Yes,
about.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. What do you think?
Is there anything in the next couple of paragraphs? I wanted to go down to the paragraph. There's a compelling amount of research on the power of choice. Scientists the world over agree we cannot not make a choice. So hear that. We cannot
make
a choice. Yeah. Scientists the world over agree that we cannot not make a choice.
Wow.
And we wholeheartedly agree. Unless, of course, I would add, you're asking a group of people, where do you want to go to eat?
Oh, my gosh.
I just thought of that.
And we've all been there.
Yeah. But on a deeper level, we cannot not make a choice. And we agree. Essentially, we're wired for choice. And not only are we wired for choice, we're wired to make every choice our choice and no one else's. So here we're coming into what Bill was talking about, where even though the decisions made at a subconscious level, we still have this opportunity. And we owe this bit of fail-safe choice making to what scientists refer to as a Barrett Schaff's moment. Mm-hmm.
Which we've talked about.
We have. Yeah. We've done whole shows on this.
And it's a fancy pants word. I'm going to spell it.
Okay.
B-E-R-E-I-T-S-H-A-F-T-S. Bear Shafts. I'm going to spell it one more time. B-E-R-E-I-T-S-H-A-F-T-S. Anybody want to look that up? Okay, right. Take her away, Cher.
And on our blog, we have an actual blog article on our website around this too.
Yeah. Even better. Yeah.
Yeah. So a Barrett Schaff's moment is also called Barrett Schaff's potential is the narrow neural timeline between deciding to act and actually acting. This is really important, folks. So let me say that one more time. It's the narrow neural timeline between deciding to act and actually acting. In neurology, the Bearshaft's potential, and that's German for readiness potential. And it's named after, I thought it was named after the person who created it, but maybe not. Anyway, it's the measure of activity in the motor cortex area of the brain, which indicates voluntary muscle movement. This extraordinary human trait, and it is truly extraordinary, was first recorded and reported in 1964 in Germany. But what it is it's, let me see where, do we say what it is here? Because it's that, what time frame is it?
It's a third of a second.
A third of a second between when we decide to act and we actually act.
Wow.
Which doesn't sound like much time, but if you watch the Olympics, you know that fraction of a second can be the difference.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is down here.
So it got that name because these two guys were German.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Because I would
just
call it
readiness potential.
That's a better word for us, readiness.
Yeah. Okay, so in a series of experiments where they studied our conscious experience of volition, which is the power of using our will, and the moment the Barrett Schaff's potential kicks in, this Benjamin Libet, L-I-B-E-T, he's the scientist who studied this, found that the Barrett Schaff's potential occurs about 0.35 seconds earlier than people report conscious awareness that they feel the desire to take some kind of action. He found that people were able to prevent an intended action at the last moment by consciously vetoing these actions.
Wow,
that's why people say, take a breath before you say what you're about to say.
Right.
Yep.
You're activating that Barrett Schaff's moment.
And then you're overriding the subconscious impulse to a degree. Yeah.
And that's pretty powerful when you think about it, because again, the more information we have, the better decision we potentially can make.
Yeah.
And our subconscious may not have access to all, am I right about that? Our subconscious may not have access to all the information that we might have in that moment consciously.
Yeah. I don't know how that would work. Because I've always thought of whatever I'm saying now is instantaneously also in subconscious phase of mind. And that's not based on any research whatsoever.
Because I was kind of thinking that what we know consciously might be happening in the moment. And it's our, if we know it, it's conscious. And the more we can bring from our subconscious to our conscious. But I don't know that either. I mean, none of us are psychotherapists, I guess. So.
Yeah,
but what's interesting too is in a very real sense, now this is not in the research, this is just Bill Holton talking. The readiness potential, our subconsciousness, one of the main purposes of it is to preserve us, to preserve our well-being. And all of this past patterns is based on information that's in the subconscious. It's almost algorithmic when you think about it. Algorithms can think faster than we humans. And thinking algorithm, if you will, can get there faster based on many hundreds of millions of bits of information than we humans can process in a second, kind of thing. And so what's interesting about that is a lot of folks are saying that by 2050, I believe was the year that they said, we'll be pretty much controlled even more by algorithms than we are now.
We are being controlled by something that's not really intentional, right? The person who designs them are intentional, but themselves, they're not making any conscious decisions. They just are.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Kind of like the way a law works.
Right. And when we're influenced by it.
Yes.
Yeah. Or influenced or quote unquote controlled by it, but not that. So the law and the algorithm don't have agency, but that doesn't nullify the fact that there's an influence there.
There's an influence and an impact. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And one impact we have going on right now is we're up against our time. So we're going to switch to the Absolute Word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Uni publication, and has been used with permission. And so this is almost a synchronicity because the word for the day was will.
Oh, interesting.
And the Absolute Word, but I've changed a little bit. So this comes from Sunday, June 28th, 2020. The words are will, understanding, and wisdom. And I did that because the three always work together. I deploy the powers understanding, wisdom, and will to guide my life. Each day, I use my powers understanding, wisdom, and will to make decisions, big and small, affecting the quality and direction of my life. Using will without understanding and wisdom often leads to unfortunate results. When I use sense consciousness to inform my powers, I am willful and may not be good. I tend to make choices out of fear and a sense of lack. Convenience, comfort, or momentary pleasures drive my decisions. When I use my higher awareness to inform my powers of understanding, wisdom, and will, my choices support a greater awareness and expression of my divine nature. I grow spiritually as I shine my Christ light even more brightly. I release my willingness so I can create more intentionally from my divinity. I deploy the powers of understanding, wisdom, and will to guide my life. And so it is. And thank you, Bill. Thank you, Cher. Thank you, listeners. This is Paul signing off. Goodbye, guys.
Bye. Thank you.